Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Chicks Talking Footy here on Joy 94.9 with Fiona, Danae and Rachel from our Interchange Bench. Welcome to another episode, ladies.
Hello.
We've got a big show tonight. Obviously, we're right in the middle of September, so footy finals fever and disappointment is upon us. Rachel and I are Hawks supporters, so we will talk about our wounds from the game on Friday night.
I'm still crying.
Also, the three of us were at the VWFL Grand Final at Coburg Oval on Sunday afternoon and watched the girls play a great game. Talk about the new women's logo for the AFL.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think of the women's logo? And earlier today, Danae and I caught up with Nirole Meadows down at Fox Footy Studios.
Nirole.
I did say that, didn't I?
Narrowly. Yeah. Oh. No, I just sort of got a pasta kind of, you know.
Ravioli.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd appreciate having a pasta named after her. But we caught up with her down at the Fox Studios and she was lovely.
Yep.
And we will we'll hear that interview in just a moment or later in the show. And we're also going to preview the semi-preliminary finals next week.
Prelims.
And we'll preview the two games coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. Big show. So, Rachel, what are some of the highlights/lowlights of the games on the weekend? Hawks, Bulldogs and Swans, Crows.
Well, there were no highlights.
No highlights if you're a Hawks supporter or a Crows supporter.
There was just a lot of crying. Getting on the train early was nice. That was a highlight. Getting home half an hour earlier than I anticipated was a huge highlight. Look, well done to the Bulldogs. I think it was possibly the best game they've played all season. They were brilliant, particularly in the third quarter.
Oh, my goodness.
They were great. They just sealed it.
They've never won in front of more people than they did on Friday night, 87,000.
There were so many people there. It was wonderful. It was fantastic.
A bit disappointed in the booing of Hodgie, personally.
The booing of every single time any Hawthorn player
the freak
touched of the
Hawthorn.
Ball.
Get over it. 2017 is get over it, # get over it, free kick, # Hawthorn.
Which, incidentally, can I just say, the Bulldogs got more free kicks than Hawthorn did. And can I also just say, we had 104 tackles and something like 14 free kicks. Come on.
Anyway, we've got that off our chest.
Look, well done. Beveridge was great. The Bont, what a champion. Stringer.
Can I say, I thought it was great that Clarkson went to the Bulldogs change rooms afterward and gave his old mate Beveridge a hug and said, now take it all the way with GWS.
I was thinking about Lee Matthews. Remember when he was in the 80s, how many superstar Hawthorn players became AFL coaches?
Yes.
Do you remember?
Mm. Yep.
So there's a bunch of them, and now we're going through another phase of the assistant coaches of Hawthorn becoming senior head coaches for other clubs.
Yeah. Actually, Leon Cameron and Luke Beveridge are both old assistant coaches of Alistair Clarkson and are playing this weekend. Mm-hmm. So all credit. I think there's five senior coaches now that Alistair Clarkson have been assistant coaches. And Chris Fagan, our operations
manager
is actually talking about becoming the Brisbane coach, so who knows, it could be a 6-1.
I'm not sure he's talking about it much, but the AFL certainly won
him
in Brisbane.
The media is.
I think the dietitian from Hawthorn is also at the Bulldogs now as well, just putting that out there.
So those hamburgers they get after the game, that was our idea.
it was devastating as a Hawthorn supporter.
Yeah, but we'll just watch the reruns of 2008, 2013, 2014 and 2015 to feel better.
Yeah. Ooh, why not? And 1989. So that's a kicker.
We love that one. But the other game that was, of course,
Swans v Crows. Look, I think this game demonstrates the importance of having a week off, because the biggest thing that I learnt from that game is the injuries. The injury list is high for Sydney. Now, they still won convincingly.
Mm.
I think they sealed it in the first quarter when everybody was on the ground. But to lose Gary Rowan, I think, is huge. Although, apparently, he did train today.
I heard that he trained. It's about whether he can walk tomorrow, I guess.
Exactly. But they also lost McVeigh.
Callum Mills. That's
Mills as well. Tibbet.
He's likely to play.
Yeah.
Will he play this weekend, though?
He was training. Yeah, it's still a possibility. They haven't announced yet, but it's still a possibility. I think it was actually about how well they all trained today that was going to be the factor. Mills is definitely out.
Mills, that's a big loss.
And, yeah, I think Tippett and Rowan are still.
Well, Buddy played really well. I think it's the first time he's played and not choked in a final season.
Oh, gosh.
Well, he does. Unfortunately, he's a brilliant player. But he played really well.
It's really uncomfortable being with Hawthorn supporters tonight.
I know, but as soon as we talk about West Coast, you can invent there. Mm-hmm. But
well, I guess with only two games to go, the preliminary finals before the grand final, it's for many neutrals, it's a case of who do you want to be in that grand final?
Well, actually, I was talking to someone about this, a client of mine, actually. It's a good way to get in with clients. But they're a Geelong supporter. And look, as a Hawthorn supporter, you tend to hate Geelong and Sydney fairly equally.
Mm-hmm. Now the Bulldogs.
And yeah, no, I don't hate the Bulldogs. But now they're playing each other, so it's which team do we want to lose the least to get into the grand final. But look, as a Victorian, you always favour the Victorian teams getting in.
Yes, definitely.
So ultimately, Bulldogs and Geelong would be
nice. I'm not
sure
about that, but
I must admit, I have complete schadenfreude, where I hope the Bulldogs get annihilated by GWS, just because I'm still hurting from Friday night.
No, I think they've only won one premiership in 100 years. I'd like to see them get up, and I think it would be, for me, there'd be a little bit of unfairness, GWS winning a grand final within their first 5 years, when you've got teams like Western Bulldogs who haven't had a good crack at it.
For a long time, I couldn't come to grips with the idea that the Western Bulldogs might win a flag without Bob Murphy. I've come to grips with the fact that he is the player I can think of that would cope with that best and that it would be okay. So I'm hoping for the Bulldogs.
That is a really good point. It is sad that Murphy can't be a part of the team.
But he is a part of the team.
Of course he is. I mean, he can't actually, because there is a big chance that they'll be there in October. So it's sad that he can't run out there with the players.
Well, in 2015, when the halfback flankers for the West Coast Eagles were both injured in the first three rounds, I thought that was it, that they weren't even going to win as many games as they did last year. And they got all the way to the grand final. So even though the Western Bulldogs have had injury after injury, they really have shown their depth.
Oh, they really were. If you take the emotion out of it, they were fantastic on Friday. They really were.
Yeah.
They looked brilliant.
I was at the game too, and in a comfortable part of the crowd, and there was just a moment where I thought, oh my gosh, they're going to thrash them. It just turned.
It did.
Like third quarter, it was like just knives going in, basically, as a Hawthorn supporter. But my gosh, they just look like a top team.
They really did.
And I think you need momentum, and let's hope that, well, okay, I'm not a Victorian, but I'm a Melbournean, so I'm barracking for the Western Bulldogs.
Mm. Just one quick thing also about Sydney, just a shout out to Kennedy, who had 41 disposals. Kicked a couple of goals as well. He's brilliant. He is so exciting to watch. I really enjoyed watching him play on Saturday. It was great.
I was a bit bored during the Swans-Crows game, I have to admit, just because there was just a point in the game where it looked like there was
Adelaide any kind never of had a chance, did they?
I was at the Argonauts trivia night, so I'm afraid I haven't seen the replay yet. But I was at Sunday's grand final between the Darabin Falcons and Melbourne Uni Muggers, and that made me feel like I'd seen we in fact, all three of us saw the same two games live this weekend. Uncanny.
Actually,
did you enjoy that?
The
women's game?
Women's game, yeah. We were at the Coburg Oval. Rachel didn't know we were there, so we missed you somehow.
Yes, yes. But well, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch all of it. But
did you get a hot dog and atmosphere as well?
Yes, I got a bit of atmosphere, which was nice. And I watched the Deer Park Bendigo one from the Coburg Leisure Centre, as opposed to being down there. But that was also I saw the last quarter of that, and that was quite a good game too.
That was really
a lot
tight.
Of action on the wing.
Yeah. So that was the Premier Division, and Bendigo beat Deer Park.
Close score, wasn't it? 30, no.
Yeah, it was really close.
Can't remember the score, apologise, but it was what
really
I watched
close.
Was great.
And Darabin won their fourth flag in a row and nine of the last 12 years, is that right?
Yes, I think so.
People hate Darabin because they keep winning.
No,
yeah, there were a whole lot of Melbourne Uni supporters who every time Darabin kicked the ball, they shouted something derogatory about free kicks.
Actually, I accidentally went to the Muggers. Well, not accidentally. I had friends that played for the Muggers a few years ago and I went to the Mad Monday, which turned into Mad Wednesday.
Yeah.
They certainly knew how to party.
Well, we're going to be doing that ourselves, but we'll be slightly more tempered.
Yeah, yeah. It won't. It'll bleed in from the afternoon to late afternoon. Yeah. We've had a couple of messages. One is from our Bulldogs supporter, Betty, who said, "I'm loving tonight's CTF show. Hashtag be more Bulldog. Good luck to the Bulldogs on Saturday, Betty. We'll be cheering for you.
Yep.
And yes. For Susan Alberti.
Yep.
And we've also had a Joy membership come through. Much love from Ali. So thank you, Ali, for supporting the station. We much appreciate your membership and the support that you
give. And your support, yeah, especially this week. 0427 Joy 949 if you'd like to send us a message. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy and we want to hear what you have to say.
That's right. And join our Facebook page, Chicks Talking Footy, or Twitter, CTF. What is it, Danae? CTF.
Joy 94.9.
.9, that's right. I was going to forget the dot and I knew there was a dot. But, yeah, we love to stay in contact during the week as well on social media. When we come back, we're going to – we caught up with Neroli. Oh, gee. Ravioli.
Ms. Meadows.
Neroli. Yeah, my best friend.
Hi, this is Matt Finnis, CEO of the Saints, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on 94.9 Joy FM.
We're with Neroli Meadows. She's a presenter from Fox Sports and Fox Footy. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, Neroli.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you're not just on Fox Footy, you wear a whole lot of hats here. What are some of the other hats you wear at Fox Sports?
Well, I do. I'm the cricket reporter as well, so I'll be following the tests around. I'm also going to be part of the NBL coverage, which is really exciting, doing courtside for NBL because I'm a mad basketball fan. Wish I was a mad basketball player, but I'm just a not very good basketball player. And then, you know, you've got all the other sports that you sort of dabble in a little bit as in the news role. But, yeah, footy and cricket are the main two.
They're the big ones. Mm. Jeez, it's enough keeping our heads across AFL, let alone two other big sports as well. But like Danae from Chicks Talking Footy, you're a Fremantle Dockers supporter. So I had a mixed year, I think. Obviously the men's team haven't done so well, but exciting news about the women's team. Are you going to be covering some of that next year?
Yeah, it's super exciting. I was an ambassador to try and get it over the line as well, so I was really excited when that happened. And Steve Rosich, the boss over at Fremantle, just, you know, sent me a text, job done, words to that effect. So it was really, really exciting when it was announced. But, yeah, as far as the blokes are concerned, the old Facebook memories got to me today. Apparently it's, to the day since that preliminary final. So I was like, yeah, thanks, Facebook. Bugger off.
Yeah, I'm a Hawks supporter, so I enjoyed that probably a little bit.
Oh, how are you feeling?
Yeah, look, disappointed, obviously, but hey, I'll just watch the reruns of the last three grand finals to comfort myself.
Yeah, look, there's four-year-olds out there that won't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Danae's spreading a rumour that Michelle Cohen could be the coach of Fremantle. Do you think that's ever a possibility?
Yeah, well, she's in, so it's happening, which is really...
No, I mean, she's part of the succession.
Oh, part of the men's. Well, yeah, wouldn't that be great? Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Let's start it happening now. No, she's amazing. She's what an extraordinary story. And just her and Peter Searle, the way that they've just not ever given in and not ever taken no for an answer. They're just inspiring women, and it's so exciting. I'm super proud as a Dockers supporter to have her on board. I'm also just really happy that I'm in a room with a Dockers supporter. That never happens in Melbourne. People look at me like I've got a disease or something when I announce that I'm a Freo supporter around here.
What was it that you went through Sydney to get to Melbourne, didn't you?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Country WA and then worked in Perth, and then I just was a little bit over Daniel Kerr's hammy and Chris Judd's groin, so I decided I would pick up my bags and move to Sydney. And then sort of worked in Sydney for a couple of years, and then when Fox Footy launched, I got moved down here because I knew that I was a footy head coming from WA. And and then I was part of Fox Footy since the beginning of the relaunch.
So I'm going to ask those questions. You're from Collie. Does that mean you follow the Collie Miners?
Yes, my... So it was originally... Yeah.
Look at you two.
We had the Mines Rovers Eagles and the Collie Saints. So when they... My brother played for the Mines Rovers, the blue and gold. And then they ended up joining and it was a big controversy in the town, as you can imagine, because they used to get, you know, 3,000 plus to a derby down there in country towns like that, where you drive your car in and toot the horns. It was fantastic. But yeah, they're now the Collie Eagles. So I think that changed when, yeah, everyone was a bit sad, but it was, you know, those things happen in country clubs to keep the survival going. So
now, obviously, you're being a female sports journalist, you're well and truly entering into a man's world. Even the photo of the Fox Footy, it's you in a red dress and then a bunch of blokes in suits. What are some of the challenges around breaking into the men's world, you know, traditionally?
I mean, there's plenty of challenges. It's getting better, though. It definitely is. And it helps once you've been established for a while, because when you first start, everyone assumes you know nothing until you prove you know everything. And then once you've been around for a decade, people assume that you're good at what you do because they've seen you before or heard you before or whatever, come across you before. And if they're rude to you, then someone else will have your back and saying, you know, actually, she's all right.
And there's been some great pioneers in Caroline Wilson and some of those ladies. So.
Yeah, it's definitely getting easier. I think the main thing is that the players now are all younger than me pretty much. So they all think that it's normal to have people like me and Sarah Jones and whoever else, you know, Nat Edwards from AFL, whoever it is, Lauren Wood.
Chicks talking footy team.
Yeah, exactly. they all see it as normal, all the players now. Yeah. So when they become the coaches and the decision makers, it's not even going to be an issue. You're either a good journo or a bad journo.
So are you a mentor to younger journalists?
I definitely try. Both boys and girls. We've got a young guy at the moment, Drew Jones, who's a few years younger than me. He's just joined and he's done the exact same path, same degree, same, you know, gone to Seven in Perth and then Sydney. And he's great, and it's great having him around and being able to actually, you know, impart some wisdom or whatever, however you want to put it, experience, but particularly with the females, because I find that women that I've come across are either pushers or huggers. And when you find a hugger, it's so much better. It's so much easier and you all just become mates. And because I just think that it shouldn't be either or. If we're all good at our job, then we all get jobs.
Sure.
But when you get pitted up against each other, you then react to that because that you feel you have to, because it's either you get the job or she gets the job. Whereas if you both turn around and go, no, actually, we're really different and we're both really good at what we do, there's room for all of us.
What we've noticed too is this year has particularly been quite significant in that a lot of females have started getting into broadcasting. So I've got the girls from the Outer Sanctum and Girls Play Footy that are really, you know, even 2 years ago weren't around. So it seems to be more and more prominent that that's happening.
I think the public noticed. I think the public have started to be... I think those of us who were in it have been aware for a long time that you can't spruik your own cause.
Mm.
It had to come from the public, and this year that's happened.
So you spoke up when West Indian cricketer Chris Gayle had a dismissive response to Mel McLaughlin during the big bash league. Why did you speak up then?
A couple of reasons. One, Mel's a very good mate of mine, and it annoyed me. Two, he's done it to me before, so it wasn't a reactive thing from me to just say what I said. It was, I knew he was going to do it, and I knew what was going to happen, and I sent out a tweet after it happened. I didn't expect that tweet to gain as much traction as it did. It was running on CNN and things like these overseas, but... I mean, blokes always use the defence of mateship, and to be honest, that was the first thing that I was there. I wanted to be there for Mel because I just thought it was a bit crap, and she's a mate. Now, whether that's a girl sticking up for a girl or whatever, I saw it as a mate sticking up for a mate. And at the end of the day, Chris doesn't need to do that sort of stuff.
No.
He's very charismatic, both on and off you know, the cricket field, and he doesn't need to be controversial or disrespectful. He's funny and clever and entertaining without that crap. And, you know, I feel like we grew out of that in the schoolyard, the, you know, the derogatory comments and things like that. You can be clever and funny and entertaining without putting someone else down.
What sort of response did you get from your colleagues?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Good, mostly. I mean, I'd probably never really differentiated the response between mates, the public, and colleagues. My brothers found it really hard. Yeah, because 95% of the responses that I got to what I had said were really positive and supportive, and some really lovely emails from people I've never met saying that they showed their sons the interview that I did and stuff like that. But then there's the 5%, and, you know, you always take more notice of the negative than we do of the positive, and it was pretty rough. People who know me well know that I'm opinionated, but in the public view, I try to keep my opinions mostly to myself, and that was probably the first time that I stuck my neck out for something and was pretty strong on it. But I felt like I had to be, because if you don't stand up in those moments, nothing will ever change. And if, you know, the Chris Gavs of the world continue to say what they say, well, that's fine, but I don't want my mates to laugh when he does it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And unless you tell somebody that, you can't hold them accountable when they do it, because they don't know.
Well, I mean, that's the interesting thing, is a lot of people just say, get over it, or it's a joke, or whatever. And, yeah, even interestingly, this year the AFL started to, you know, they did the first ever Pride game, which we were involved in hosting, and you know, an Indigenous round and all those kind of things, where often people say, why is the footy getting involved in this stuff? What would you say to that?
Sports and politics have always been together. It's crap to say otherwise. You know, you can go all the way back to Hitler's Olympics. It's always been the way. And anyone, my brother, who's an actor at the time with the Chris Gayle stuff, he said, don't forget that you're really lucky that you have a platform. Yeah, you've worked hard for it, but you have a platform, and so you should use it when you feel it's necessary. And I think that's a big thing that resonated with me, because it is hard putting your neck out on things like that. But for people who say, oh, get over it, it's just a joke, how about you come and do 10, 11 years and then tell me whether or not I have a reason to say things about my own life or my friend's life.
Yeah.
Just, and I said this at the time, just trust us. We put up with a lot, or we laugh off a lot, or we even engage in jokes ourselves, because that's the industry that we're in. So when we say you've gone too far, just go, cool, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So this year's been a big year, the AFL Women's Game, Western Bulldogs Melbourne game, which was fantastic at Witten Oval, and the Pride game that Fee was talking about at Etihad between St Kilda and Sydney. How did you enjoy the Pride game?
I must admit here, I'm a little bit bad, because I was, ironically, at my friend's wedding. My friend Jimmy was marrying Andrew in Sydney, so I missed the Pride game, but for a really good Pride game cause.
For a Pride wedding.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful wedding as well. It was awesome, and they had a good laugh about the fact that I'd missed the Pride game for their wedding. But, yeah, but it, I mean, I just think it's phenomenal. I think it's awesome. It's the same thing that we were talking about before with the young footballers. For them, it's normal. It's us who are older and still stuck with, you know, eras gone past with no women, or no, you know, where there's no gay footballers, or, you know, that have come out or felt comfortable to share their story.
There is now that there's women in the league, because there's lots of out women.
So. Yeah, and it's all just changing, and it just won't be a big deal.
Mm.
It won't be a big deal, and that's so much better.
Thanks so much for taking time out in September when you've got the Brownlow Medal and Most Valuable Player Awards and all sorts of things going on at Fox Footy. So we really appreciate your time with the Chicks Talking Footy team.
No worries. I really appreciate that you guys wanted to chat to me.
Hi, I'm Jason Ball, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Oh, I wasn't narrowly. I'm kidding. Narrowly lovely.
Yeah, she was
and
great.
Very generous with her
very
time.
Very impressive woman.
Well, you did have a message from Beck, I believe. Yeah. So great interview, Chicks. Nice to find some joy in talking footy in between my red, blue and yellow tears. Oh. She also said, narrowly, the Chris Judd's groin is awesome.
Yeah.
So stop. Well, don't knock it.
If you're in Perth, then all you hear about is the West Coast Eagles and they're the main story
and
in town.
And Chris Judd's groin, apparently.
Yeah.
So next we're going to talk about...
have a big week coming up.
Ooh. So exciting. So we're ready for the prelims.
There's only 10 days left in the season.
I can't believe it.
3 games, in fact.
Yeah. So Friday night, Cats versus the Swans.
Who do we want to lose more?
My money's still on Sydney. My money's been on them all year, but Geelong have been playing extraordinarily well. They've had a week off.
Responsible gambling suggested here. Have you really got money on them?
No, sorry. That's a...
what she's saying is figuratively.
Yes, figuratively, metaphorically.
Okay.
I don't have any money on them.
You've been thinking for a long time that Sydney will win.
I have, since about round 11. Okay. I've been backing Sydney. But Geelong have been playing really well.
Okay.
They played very well against Hawthorn. They shut us down in our 50. Look, even with the injuries, even if, let's say, your Rowans didn't play, I think Sydney still are just an A-League team.
Well, the way I would think they would lose is if those four players didn't play. I think then Geelong might have a chance. But I think that Sydney beat Geelong at Simmons Stadium by 29 points when they played this year. Yeah, sometimes there's just two teams that have game plans that kind of...
Sure.
True, but you've got your Kennedy, you've got Mitchell. I mean, yes, they've got Dangerfield, they've got Hawko, but I think, I don't know, I just think that Sydney will just outclass them. And it's at the MCG, granted, but still.
Yeah, I would tip Sydney out of it, unfortunately. I probably want them to lose more than Geelong. But
well, then what about the other game? Who do you want to win,
GWS,
the Bulldogs or
Bulldogs.
The Giants?
I would really like to see the Bulldogs go through, personally. I think... I'd love to see them win the flag. I do think it's a bit of a long shot, but
the AFL set up for GWS to win. I mean, think of all the, you know, there's been no salary capping. They've got better draft picks. The whole thing. Although I think there was an article recently that said they got 5 or 6 players who were actually rejected from other teams. But needless to say, that the AFL is set up to help establish these teams. So you think they should be in the running soon?
It'll be interesting to see how they play without Steve Johnson, the Giants.
That's true.
That's a very good point.
That's true.
But they look fantastic as well. They really do. I mean, they are the four teams
that
are in the prelims are great teams, and they've been great all year.
I'm interested to see how the bye round affects the teams. Like, do you lose momentum or is it good to have rest, but you've also already had a bye?
Gee, those sore bodies must want a little rest.
Yeah, but we've also had a bye going into the finals. Mm. So there's some teams that have played... you know, one game in the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
I think it will help the Bulldogs. I think they gained momentum from playing Hawthorn. I think that was enough for them to really get a taste of what it's like to win and how badly they want to be in the grand final.
Yeah.
I think for Sydney it's going to hurt them just because of the injuries. However, they've got the experience behind them.
Yep.
We'll know.
Well, we'll know next week, won't we? And we'll be talking that on Chicks Talking Footy. We have potentially next week some very special guests lined up, but haven't quite confirmed them. So we'll stay tuned when we review the grand final, review the preliminary finals. Danae will be away, so we'll have Bree and Beck on board. See you next week. Footy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.